Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we are going to be talking about traveling back and forth to heaven. Now, this is a hot topic. It is a very, very popular topic, and it's a very misunderstood topic. You go to Christian bookstores or movies that are made by Christian film directors, and you'll see a lot of these books and a lot of these movies have to do with people who supposedly have traveled back and forth to heaven. Perhaps you have purchased some of these books. Perhaps you have gone to some of these movies. And so what we want to do is we want to see if that's actually accurate, according to Scripture, that people can actually travel back and forth to heaven. Let's see what the Bible has to say about this. In Hebrews chapter 9, we see that in verse 27, the Scripture says, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, in like manner, Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him." So we see here the writer of Hebrews. Obviously, this scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes it very clear. Christ died once for all time, right? Paying once for all time for the sins of the elect. Christ will return again to gather his elect home, to usher in the eternal state, and also to judge non-believers. And so the writer tells us Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, in like manner, in the same verse, he says that it is appointed for men, for people, to die once, and after this comes judgment. So Scripture here tells us once a person dies, that person immediately faces judgment. That person's soul will either immediately be home with the Lord in heaven, or that person's soul will immediately be condemned to damnation. It is appointed for men to die once, and after this, to face judgment. Just like Christ had been offered once to bear the sins of many, and he will appear a second time to bring the elect home. And so when it comes to this idea of traveling back and forth to heaven, I'm sure you're familiar. There are books out there, movies out there that talk about somebody who died and went to heaven, spoke with Jesus, was able to see God. Some of these people have even said they went to heaven, but they didn't see Jesus or God, which right away tells you that's a big problem, right? But nevertheless, these people say they died, okay? Whether it was in a car accident, on the operating table. They died, they went to heaven, they say, and then they were sent back here to earth. Huh. In fact, some of those people apparently travel back and forth, you know, to heaven and from heaven regularly. You can just turn on so-called Christian TV and you'll see these so-called Christian prophets and prophetesses. Many of them claim that they travel back and forth to heaven constantly. In fact, I can think of one lady who claims to be a prophet, who apparently travels back and forth to heaven several times throughout the day. Well, again, what we never want to argue with people's experiences, right? I mean, because again, you're not going to get anywhere with that. You know, people have their experience or what they believe to be an accurate experience. And if you try to poke holes into their experience, yeah, they're going to come back at you and say, who are you? I know what happened and you have no right to say anything against that. Rather than going after somebody's experience, let's take a look at God's objective truth. And based on God's objective truth, then it's very easy to evaluate that experience, right? And so, for all those people who have claimed to be able to travel back and forth to heaven, here in Hebrews chapter 9, you have to go, wait a second. Scripture here clearly says, it's appointed for man to die once. And after this comes judgment. Now, some people will argue and say, whoa, that doesn't mean that a person is immediately judged as soon as that person dies. They will say, no, that refers to the time when Christ will return. So that when a person dies, they say it is possible for that person to go back and forth to heaven. Judgment doesn't come till later. Okay, we don't agree with that. But let's take a look and see if there's any place else in Scripture that maybe we can actually take a look at a real example of somebody who either had a vision of heaven or actually was able to see heaven and is back here on earth, was able to come back to earth. Let's take a look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul. Paul talks about a vision of heaven. He describes it as revelations given to him. And to understand the context, Paul was having to defend his apostleship to the Corinthians in the church which Paul had planted during his second missionary journey down in the southern part of Greece in the region of Achaia. He planted a church in Corinth. He had ministered there a year and a half. Those Christians in that church, the majority of them were Paul's children in Christ. Paul left. False teachers came in. And they tried to discredit Paul as an apostle. They also tried to discredit Paul's lifestyle. They tried to discredit Paul's gospel and on and on and on. They were saying they were the real apostles and Paul was a phony. Well, this was killing Paul. And what made it even more difficult for Paul was that he finally had to defend himself, something Paul hated to do. And here in chapter 12, Paul talks about specific revelations that he had received from the Lord. And he starts in verse 1. He says, boasting is necessary, which he hated to do, talking about himself, though it is not profitable, he says. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a man, Paul's referring to himself, doesn't even say his own name. Because you see Paul's humility here. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven, the holy of holies in heaven, right? And Paul says, I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up into paradise, and here it is, and heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. Your attention, please. Paul describes this incredible vision of heaven. He says, whether I was in the body or not, he goes, I don't know, God knows. Paul says, 14 years ago, this happened to me, Paul. And he said, I was able to see and hear inexpressible words. I mean, can you imagine the privilege the Apostle Paul had? The incredible blessing, whether in the body or out of the body, Nevertheless, Paul was able to see and hear things he said, which were amazing. And Paul said, those things he was not allowed to speak about. As opposed to these people today, who supposedly travel back and forth to heaven, and they write books and produce movies about the things they supposedly heard and saw. And for some of them, they make millions off of the books and the movies. And yet the Apostle Paul was not allowed to say anything. In fact, this is the first time he refers to anything like that. He says it happened to him 14 years ago. Now, Paul doesn't get into the details because he knew he was not allowed to. But nevertheless, Paul says, this vision, these revelations I received were amazing. Obviously, we're talking about heaven. And yet, God would not allow Paul to talk about any of it. Boy, can you imagine if the Apostle Paul started writing books and selling them and producing movies. Boy, his ministry would have been a lot easier, right? He could have had the state-of-the-art transportation for back then. He could have had all kinds of bodyguards to protect him. He could have bribed the Roman officials so he wouldn't have to be thrown into prison time and time again. I mean, Paul would have had it much. But God said, no, Paul, you cannot say a word about it. Paul said in verse 5, on behalf of such a man I will boast, referring to himself. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weakness. For I do not wish to boast. For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, because it actually happened. For I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. Do you see Paul's humility? As opposed to these modern day people who supposedly travel back and forth to heaven and make millions off of things they supposedly heard and saw. Look at the Apostle Paul. But there's more. Verse 7, look what God did to Paul to make sure to keep Paul humble. He says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, again, referring to that which he saw and heard, right, from God, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, he says, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. We're not talking about like a little thorn that comes from a thorn bush. We're talking about a stake that was constantly just being driven into Paul. A thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Messenger, angelos in the Greek, means, well, again, messenger, angel of Satan. What's an angel of Satan? A demon. I believe that God unleashed a demon or some demons, maybe in that church in Corinth, to torment Paul. Why? To punish Paul? No. To protect Paul from exalting himself. Why? Because of the amazing, incredible blessings he received from the Lord. To be able to see and hear, he said, certain things that are inexpressible. And how did God protect Paul from exalting himself? God used, I believe, a demon or demons to continually drive a stake into Paul. And how painful was that stake? He said, it tormented me. In the Greek, the word literally is the picture of. By the way, same Greek word is used of Jesus when he was beaten in the face by the Roman soldiers. Not only did God prevent Paul or command Paul not to say anything about what he had seen and heard, not only did God prevent Paul from speaking anything, Paul also made sure that Paul would never God also made sure that Paul would never exalt himself. How? Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a stake, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And he says it a second time, to keep me from exalting myself. Again, God wasn't punishing Paul. God was protecting Paul from what? Pride. I mean, think of the Apostle Paul, right? Think of all the challenges he had and all the churches he had planted. Can you imagine Paul going and visiting those churches? And let's say a young pastor there, let's say maybe Timothy or Titus. Paul says, you need to do this when it comes to the church and blah, blah, blah. And can you imagine one of those two young pastors saying to Paul, Paul, no, we're going to do it our way. And then all of a sudden, Paul pulls out the heavenly card and says to them, did any of you young pastors ever travel back and forth to heaven like I did? No? Then you listen to me. Can you imagine that? You see it? God made sure Paul would never exalt himself. Yes, Paul had been incredibly blessed by these revelations, this vision he had received from God. Paul had seen, Paul had heard inexpressible things, and God would not allow Paul to talk about it. And not only that, God made sure Paul would never talk about it, right? And that Paul would never exalt himself, right? And yet, think about today. How many books are written? How many movies are produced? How many podcasts are done by all these people who supposedly have traveled back and forth to heaven? We see how God dealt with Paul, who had actually received incredible blessings and revelations from God. And yet we see today, these people, what? Do you see the difference? Again, never argue with somebody's experience, as I said earlier. Let's just take a look at the scriptures, right? And so we saw in Hebrews chapter 9, scripture says it is appointed for man to die how many times? Once, and then face what? Judgment. Yet these modern-day travelers seem to tell us they die, they go to heaven, they come back, they die. Yeah. Okay, let's see Paul. Okay, he had an incredible vision of heaven, right? Whether it was in the body or out of the body, he said, God knows. We see how God prevented Paul from speaking about it and how God made sure Paul would never exalt himself because of those revelations, right? And let's just take a look at one more scripture here. Go to 1 John. Chapter 3. Let's take a look at a picture of what it's going to be like to be in glory, to be in heaven. Verse 2, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John says to believers, now, here on earth, we are children of God, and it has not appeared as of yet what we will be. Again, we know we will be in the image and likeness of Christ, but I've never seen what that actually looks like, have you? So that's what John's saying here. We know now here on earth we are children of God. What we're going to be, we're not quite sure how that's going to look. But let me look what he says. But here's what we do know, that when he appears, we will be like him, and we will see him just as he is. So, if we're still alive, when Christ returns, we will be ushered into the eternal state. We will see Christ as he is. Imagine that. You will see Christ in glory. And you will be like him. You will be in glory. New glorified body, new glorified soul. You will not be Christ, but you will be in his image and likeness. So, if we're still alive when Christ returns, he will usher in the eternal state. Again, after judging non-believers, he will usher in the eternal state. We will be in glory. How will we be? Even though we don't know exactly how that's going to look, we know, John says, we will be like him. And we will see him like he is. Well, in like manner, if we die as believers in the Lord prior to his second coming, we will immediately be in glory. We will have our glorified souls. And we will eventually receive our glorified bodies. Let me ask you a question. In glory, will you have a sin nature? No. Right? You'll be in glory. You will not be living in a sinful world. You will not be surrounded by sinners, and you yourself will have no sin in you. You will be in glory, right? Well, let me ask you this. For those people who supposedly have died, traveled to heaven, and then returned, do you see a major doctrinal problem with that? When they died, if they died in the Lord, immediately at home with the Lord, right? In what? Glory. Do they have a sin nature? No. Okay, then if they've supposedly been then sent back here to earth, how did they come back? With glorified bodies and souls? No. You mean they've come back here to earth after being in glory, no sin nature, conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. They now have been sent back and they... Wait a second. Well, what happened? Before Jesus sent them back, he put their sin nature back in them? What? Do you see how absurd that is? That is so absurd. So these travelers, again, you think of some of these people. Again, I can think of one prophetess down here in Florida who apparently talks to the hurricane so the hurricane doesn't hit South Florida all the time. As I am listening to the wind outside the window right now blowing. But anyways, she apparently travels back and forth to heaven. Okay, here's my question. Okay, if she travels up to heaven to meet with Jesus a couple times a day, what happens? Before she actually enters heaven, she has to kind of leave her sin nature at the door? And then when she is sent back, she kind of puts her... Do you see it? And so, as I said, this is my third time. When somebody talks about traveling back and forth to heaven, don't argue with their experience. And I'll address that in a few moments why. Just take a look at the scriptures. We took a look at Hebrews chapter 9. It's appointed for man to die how many times? Once, and after that face judgment. We saw the Apostle Paul, who actually received incredible revelations and visions from God. God wouldn't let him speak about it. In fact, God drove a stake into Paul to keep him from exalting himself, so he wouldn't say anything. And then we see here in 1 John what it's going to be like for us in glory. If we go to glory before Christ returns, we're in glory, no sin nature. If we're still alive here on earth and Christ returns and he ushers us into the eternal state, again, we're in glory, no sin nature. How can somebody travel to heaven, obviously can't have a sin nature there in heaven, and then come back to earth with a sin nature? It is crazy. Now, I've spoken to people who are absolutely convinced that they had a near-death experience, or actually maybe they claim they even died few minutes, and they had an incredible vision, and they believe they went to heaven. Now, again, as a pastor, not only do I want to show them scripture, but I also want to not belittle them. Now, again, these people who are on TV making money on that, that's a different story. And so, again, think about it, guys. We spend our lives here on earth being bombarded with all kinds of images, all kinds of stories, things from movies, things on the internet, right? And many of those things just come into us without us really even paying much attention to it, but yet they build up over the years in our subconscious. And very often when something tragic happens to somebody, when something devastating happens to somebody, it provides a shock to the body. And at times, it could trigger visions and dreams from images and influences that have been building up inside of their subconscious for years. So again, maybe somebody does have this, you know, dream or something like that, but that doesn't mean they're going to heaven and back. Again, my Danielle was in the hospital recently for about a week. She had surgery and, you know, they had her on a lot of medication and obviously she had two major procedures and both were rather, you know, they were big hits to her body. And every day I would go into the hospital to be with her, she would talk to me about these weird dreams she had. Dreams that she said felt so real. Well, combination of all the drugs she was on, also the major hit she had, or hits she had to her body, perhaps triggered things, even from movies, TV shows, conversations from years ago. But those were dreams. It wasn't reality, right? And so I think a lot of times that happens with people. They get in a car accident, they're fighting for their lives, somebody falls down, face down into a swimming pool, and it can happen. But this idea of traveling back and forth to heaven, that's just not biblical. And therefore, we want to be able to show people what God has to say about that. And please, don't buy any of those books. Don't support those movies. That's not real. It's not biblical. When the Lord brings us home to heaven, I don't want to come back here, do you? Right? I'm home in glory. I see Christ as he is. I don't want to come back here. And I certainly don't want to have to, again, have a sin nature, do you? Unfortunately, these people, and again, you can listen to their stories as they tell them over the years, and their stories contradict themselves. Because they have to just keep making things up to keep it more interesting, to sell more books and more movies. Pray for those people. Anybody who says, I went to heaven and I came back, and brags about coming back, I'm not sure you understand the blessings of heaven. Right? We want to be with the Lord forever. We don't want to be going back and forth from him, right? So, again, you never argue with people's experiences. Instead, you take a look at God's objective truth. And it's very clear. It's appointed for man to die once, and after that, face judgment. We know what it's going to be like when we're home in glory. We'll be in the image and likeness of Christ. We'll see him as he is. We won't have a sin nature. And think of the Apostle Paul. Whether it was in the body or out, he said, only God knows. Nevertheless, he had incredible visions and revelations, and God wouldn't let him say a word. And God made sure Paul would never exalt himself. How? Driving a stake into Paul's flesh and making sure that stake tormented Paul. Why? To keep him from exalting himself.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.